Nestled amongst the trees of West Chicago lives the magic of Cascade Drive-In Theater. The stars twinkle in the sky and on the big screen. Surrounded by crickets chirping, buckets of popcorn, and happy couples out on dates, Cascade Drive-In features first-run films 7 nights a week, rain or shine. Located on North Avenue in West Chicago, call Cascade Drive-In Theater at 630-231-3150 or catch them online at CascadeDriveIn.com. Bring your family, friends in your car and catch the next show at Cascade Drive-In Theater. McKenna's Restaurant inside the Holiday Inn in Rolling Meadows offers a relaxing atmosphere and fantastic food. Stop in for lunch or dinner for an excellent dining experience. Choose from mouth-watering pasta dishes to steaks bursting with flavor and grilled to perfection. Soup, salad, fresh bread, it's all at McKenna's Restaurant. Take the night off and let McKenna's treat you. McKenna's offers live entertainment and a big screen TV to sports fans. Book your reservation now. Call 847-506-4144.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Derek. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
For some reason, I've kind of halfway lost my voice, but I'll get through it today.
3 minutes of Cubs after they got swept?
I had a feeling you were going to mention that.
Well, I have to.
I should be back into reality now and understand that the Cubs are never going to do anything. Oh, it's good that they got Garcia Parra back.
Oh, yeah. Doing them wonders.
And Kerry Wood, too.
Yeah.
Picking up the storm.
But hey, how about the White Sox getting win number 72 on the day they honor number 72?
The Sox are they're a great team this year, and I love their manager. They got a great manager.
Yeah, they do.
And it's a big difference. I really think that's the biggest problem with the Cubs is I think Susie's an idiot, but that's just my opinion.
And the bright side, the Bears are on tonight.
Oh, are they?
Monday Night Football Hall of Fame game. Taking on the Dolphins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I can't get too excited about preseason games, but it might be interesting. All right. Back to the news at hand, or the real reason for this program, which will be right now the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. And I think we are going to, I just discovered this while refurbishing my MG. Someone was helping me with saying, he's looking at the knockoff, you know, the knockoff wheel type for a sports car. It's just like a octagonal bolt, or nut, I should say nut.
Yeah.
That you have a big spanner to a wrench. Take it off, that's it.
Huh.
No lug nuts.
Really?
It's kind of cool. It's kind of nice.
I'm kind of cool, but it sounds a lot easier to get your tires stolen or your wheels stolen.
I suppose it'd be easier, but I guess the government, because they feel it was unsafe because it was only one nut, they've made it illegal to make those anymore. I mean, I guess I'm not illegal. I guess the old British sports cars are grandfathered in. Don't have to retrofit it, at least. But, he tells me that they're illegal. I thought, you got to be kidding. And I thought, well, yeah, the government, of course, they're illegal. So knockoff wheels are illegal. And he also said, just the flip on and off buttons that I have in my car are illegal, too, because Americans are too stupid to figure out. I mean, you can screw things up too easily just by flipping on and off. I mean, I'm not quite sure exactly what he meant, to be honest with you, but it's like an up and down kind of switch thing.
Huh.
So, what are the switches like now today in the newer cars? I mean, there's got to be some kind of switch. I mean, I don't quite get it. But he says, oh, yeah, that's illegal, too. So, everything is just about everything is illegal,
mm-hmm.
including driving without a license plate light on. I found that out. I thought I had one working. And, again, this is British sports car, Lucas Prince of Darkness Electronics. And we had one working, driving along in Gilbert's in the evening, and or at night, I suppose it was. And I get pulled over by this very nice Gilbert's officer, police officer, who said that your driver's license lights aren't working. Oh, okay. I thought one was working. Well, none are now. So that's illegal, too. Then he said, better get a side view mirror on, or somebody else can pull you over for that. That's illegal, too? He said, yeah. Of course, with a convertible, you can see better, you know, better just by looking over your shoulder anyway. There's no impairment at all.
What is legal?
What is legal?
That's my question.
It's legal to ask permission to do anything you want to do, you know, you'd like to do by government. Government's got to give you permission. That's what's legal.
Yeah.
All right, today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is eminent domain. And we'll be talking to Stephen Anderson, who is a Castle Coalition coordinator. The Castle Coalition is a part of the Institute for Justice. They're the ones that helped bring suit in the famous, now infamous, Kelo versus New London, Connecticut case. They're in the forefront of fighting eminent domain abuse. So it should be an interesting topic today. So, I think, without further ado, let's go right to the commercials, and we'll be back with Stephen Anderson.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
Thankful I don't take it all.
We are back with Freedom Ring, and I'd like to introduce to the program this morning Stephen Anderson. Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
You're the coordinator for the Capital Coalition for the Institute of Justice?
That's correct.
Well, you've had some interesting times lately, haven't you?
It's been pretty busy around here, that's for sure.
The now infamous Kelo versus New London, Connecticut, which you were part of the lawsuit of, has really seemed to stir a firestorm, a backlash, I hope, if you will, against the ruling that whereby the Supreme Court has said that as long as municipality can get more tax dollars, basically they can take any property they want.
Absolutely, and I think the people on the other side really underestimated what the American people thought about this. The polls that we've seen have, 96-97% of Americans say that what the Supreme Court ruled in Kelo versus New London was absolutely wrong. And this is borne out in states and localities across the country. There have been, I think at last count, 31 states that have introduced or promised to introduce legislation to kind of remedy what Kelo has allowed.
And I believe Illinois is one of them. Illinois has an interesting law, I'm sure you're familiar with it, called the Tax Increment Financing Law.
Right.
And I remember back, I suppose it was in the 80s, that a lot of us limited government types were extolling the virtues of free enterprise zones. It sounded like a great idea. Areas that were blighted, why not help them by not imposing all sorts of regulations and heavy taxation on them so that, can bring up from a blighted area into, an area that's producing. And, I thought it was a great idea. What it's turned out to be in Illinois is municipalities are called anything they want blighted. Well, they also have, they added, besides blight, they have these conservation districts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the likes of, Arlington Heights and a lot of these North Shore communities even, and Wheaton, heart of DuPage County, one of the richest counties in the country, declaring areas blighted.
Right. It's a scourge upon the country, really. We did a study from 1998 to 2002 that showed there were over 10,000 actual or threatened condemnations for private use, and many, if not all of those, included situations where you had bogus blight designations. I mean, we see this everywhere we go. We've had situations like in Lakewood, Ohio, for instance, where blight not meant not having an attached two-car garage or not having two full bathrooms. In some states, blight means having too many property owners in a neighborhood or having houses that are more than 40 years old. So whatever the government says, whenever the government wants land, they just declare it blighted, and they can do that anywhere they want.
Yeah, it is so outrageous, and I'm hoping that the legislations that are being proposed will address that issue. I understand Alabama has actually passed legislation that entirely prohibits eminent domain except for real, true public use. Is that right?
Well, it prohibits eminent domain for economic development, and it's a good first step. What Alabama now needs to do is take a very close look at their blight laws, because their blight laws are abused much like they are across the country. So that's one big loophole that remains. So to the extent that they can tighten those definitions up, that would also be a good thing for Alabama property owners.
There's a situation happening locally here in Lake Zurich, Illinois, where some property owners of, generational homes along the private lake of Lake Zurich are being condemned or are threatened with being condemned to build condominiums again. It's going to totally change the whole aspect of what Lake Zurich was, which was this nice kind of rural bedroom community at one point, And now, and people are fighting. So the question is, what can, if a law is passed, can you pass a retroactive law, that if the property is already been condemned, is there a chance that they can stop this?
Well, to the extent the court case is still going on, I would guess, and I'm not an Illinois attorney, but I would guess that whatever laws change would affect anything that's ongoing. If something's already been condemned and title is already passed, I'm not sure that would affect things. So it really all depends on where you are in the litigation.
Now, well, a property can be condemned, then it's got to go to court, right?
Right.
I don't know if any titles have passed on that yet, because I know they've been fighting this tooth and nail, and they have protests like every weekend.
Right. Well, we've actually been working with those property owners in Lake Zurich. One of the property owners in Lake Zurich, Fred Branding, actually attended our MN Domain Activist Conference last year. So he's well aware of the strategies that we suggest for stopping these types of abuses.
Well, that's I hope something can be done with that. We tried back about 12 years ago to say the Arlington School of Music in Arlington Heights, Illinois. This was a building that was had been used as part of the Underground Railroad pre-Civil War times, and the village was successful actually in the end to condemn that building for a parking lot for a kind of like a 8-story condominium.
Mm-hmm.
That was built next door. So they, as you say, they stop at nothing. It doesn't matter what type of historical value there is or whatever.
Right. If they have their eye on it, they're going to get it no matter what it takes.
So, and then now I understand that there have been some reactions that I just love, and I found out a little bit later, I guess maybe nothing's going to happen, but this group of businessmen evidently had decided to go to this local town in New Hampshire and suggest a condemnation of Judge Souter's property for I guess it was the Lost Liberty Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Just Desserts Cafe. I thought that was a great strategy. I don't know if they're, but I understand that got voted down in council. I was wondering if there's any, do you know if there's any move afoot for the next election to unseat those who voted against that condemnation? And do you maybe disagree? Do you think that's a good way of pursuing our agenda, if you will?
Well, I mean, frankly, those are the exact kind of condemnations that we would fight against. So, what I think it does a good job of showing how detached from reality the Supreme Court justices are, that they don't understand how this issue works in the real world. As far as, you know, the actual condemnation of justice property, I don't think that that's the right way to go about doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But it does show, like I said, how little justices know about what's happening in the real world.
Yeah, at the very least, it was a nice educational point to be made.
Right.
So I understand there's another one afoot about with Justice Breyer's property. He's got like a 14-acre parcel or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that one too.
See, I don't know. I disagree with you. I think I'd like to hold people up to their own standards.
Right.
You know, intellectual dishonesty and hypocrisy are not something that I think are good things to foster. So. At any rate, that's everybody's got their own methods, I guess, of attacking this problem. We're talking with Stephen Anderson, the Castle Coalition Coordinator, and Eminent Domain. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, analyses, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Mm-hmm.
ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Jack Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. Jack Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Jack Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
And you may
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and let's go right to the phones. We have John. Hello, John.
Hi, Ken. Hello, Steve. Hi. I was wondering, many of these legislatures around the country, state legislatures, are trying to pass laws. Do you think that a law is the way to go, or a constitutional amendment for the state constitution would be a better way?
A state constitutional amendment would be a better way because it's... You know, but it's also harder to get through. And you know, if you want, there are very onerous requirements in certain states on getting constitutional amendments passed. So the quickest way we think to get real reform is to do it at the state legislative level.
Does the Castle Coalition have model laws for these states or for groups within these states to try and push?
We do. If you go to castlecoalition.org, you can see our model legislation for states. We also have model constitutional amendment. We have model legislation for the local level as well.
Okay. Do you have local affiliates in any states, or is this just national?
It's national, but we do have members nationwide.
I see. Well, that's about all I have.
Okay. Thanks a lot, John.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on. We have Tim.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, John and Steve. You're talking about... Just let me go to the other room. You were talking about the condos being built in Lake Zurich.
Yeah.
And they're taking businesses away to build these condos. And I don't think that's fair. My son's over there with Lake Zurich Lumber.
And they want to condemn Lake Zurich Lumber?
Yep.
Have they condemned it yet, or have they just...
No, they haven't, but they're talking about it.
Right.
And a man with five kids, he's been there 22 years. Serving the town, and I don't think that's correct, personally. I'm speaking for him.
I think it's pretty outrageous. Stephen, why don't you discuss a little bit about what happens to businesses when they get threatened with eminent domain?
A lot of them fail. You know, that's the thing. It's not just homeowners. It's small business owners. It's churches. It's the VFW. It's the Elk Lodge. Those are all threatened by the abuse of eminent domain for for private development. You know, we don't deal a lot with compensation issues, but I can tell you from experience, from what I've seen, is that when, you know, the cities will often talk about we're going to give them just compensation and we're going to provide them with money, we're going to relocate them, it really doesn't help out, because you don't get any compensation for the time that your business is not in business when you're moving. You don't get a lot of moving expenses, and a lot of times businesses are dependent on their location, and the minute you change that location is the minute they fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it seems to me the just compensation would be that that a certain amount of profit is paid to them every year if they do fail.
Right.
That's just, which, of course, would render the eminent domain use of that obsolete, I think, because there's no municipality that could afford that.
Yeah. Right. And his big question is, okay, they take all these businesses away. Now what tax dollars takes care of the town?
Well, I guess they're figuring they're going to get more tax dollars through the condominiums.
Okay.
They hope.
They hope. Yeah, right.
Because I drove through there yesterday, and I can't believe the businesses there. There was a big fancy restaurant on 22, and that's gone. And the gas station on the corner of 22 and Main, and that's gone. Businesses are still there, the building, but the business is gone. And
right. A lot of times what will happen is that even just the whiff of the possibility of there being eminent domain will have people, you know, just board up their stores and leave because they can't operate their business under the threat or the possibility that they may be taken someday.
And won't that lower property value just that threat?
It does. It's what's referred to as condemnation blight. Even if you don't have a blighted area, if the city is talking about blighting, designating a certain neighborhood as blighted, people will stop investing in their homes, people will stop investing in their small businesses, and as a result, it will become exactly what the city wants, and that's an area that is bringing in no tax revenue, that has become boarded up, that becomes run down. So that's certainly a threat out there.
And then, of course, I assume have ruled just compensation is what the fair market value is at the time of the condemnation, not what it would have been without the condemnation.
Typically, that's how they deal with it.
Hmm. Okay, well, thank you for letting me on.
Well, thanks for your call, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, do we have another call?
You know what, I got it.
I'm sorry, we don't. Okay. So, why don't you give us a few more instances, you know, throughout the country, so maybe the more egregious ones of what has happened to people with this abuse of the use of eminent domain.
Sure, and, you know, the state of New Jersey is almost an entirely area in need of redevelopment, how they call it there. All these shore towns you have, you know, these little Italian neighborhoods, people that used to live in New York City and bought vacation homes back in the 40s and 50s, they're now being designated as blighted, so the city can come in and, of course, build luxury condominiums. Riviera Beach, Florida is something that comes to mind. You have 1,700 properties, 5,100 property owners that are being affected by the abuse of eminent domain. In San Diego, California, we are in contact with a guy who owned a cigar store there downtown. He was an immigrant from Afghanistan, you know, fled from the Russian and the Soviet invaders of Afghanistan to come to America because he thought this is a place where I could have rights in my property. I won't be bothered by the government, and they've kicked him out of his business in order to build a hotel there. This is a place that Governor Schwarzenegger has gone twice. You know, it's a very, very popular destination in the gas lamp quarter of San Diego, but now he's doesn't know what he's going to do because he's been kicked out of his business. So there are examples all over the country of this.
Well, you mentioned Schwarzenegger, and I recall, you know, a very popular series that the general public regarded as popular, but especially for us limited government types, was Milton Friedman's series on PBS, Free to Choose. And Schwarzenegger was one of, like, his prime examples of coming to this country and living the American dream and believing in limited government. And here, as you say, does he know he's going to these hotels that have been built upon the condemnation proceedings?
Well, he visited the cigar store owner's shop knowing that it was going to be condemned, but there's very little that the governor can actually do to stop these local redevelopment agencies from condemning the properties because the law is so bad.
You know, well, except take a leadership position to get some legislation.
Right. He could do that. But, I mean, while this issue has certainly galvanized people on both sides of the aisle, there were, for instance, the Bush administration was considering weighing in on the other side of the property owners in this Kelo case. So you never know where the government's going to come down.
Well, that really doesn't surprise me, because I always considered George Bush a big government neocon. I think that's what he is. I think it makes perfect sense from a neoconservative position to, they believe in his power and the power of government. And so that doesn't surprise me at all. But in the end, they didn't take any position either.
No, not on either one.
They probably figured it would be so unpopular to do that they wouldn't have to be politically smart. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines, and we do have Wendell on the line. Hello, Wendell.
Hello?
Yes.
Mr. Ken.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say what you expose your position. Once again, you're against our great leader, Mr. Bush. You're wanting people to waste resources and time and energy fighting a losing battle against nothing more than economic progress. You people are putting yourselves in a position of being economic Luddites, and you're going to lose in the long run. You don't have any wins of any substantial nature, and it's a waste of energy. You got to realize that the power of government is the power of the people, which is our democracy. And you need to accept take the money offer, negotiate as best as possible, and consider if there is a loss, that it's for the good of the rest of the country, especially the local area, the economic local area.
All right, let's have Stephen call. By the way, Stephen, this is a real call, I swear to God. I'm not a plant. So go ahead. You want to respond?
Sure. I mean, there are a couple of things. Development is not the problem here. Everyone wants to live in a nice city with nice shops and nice residences, but it can't come at the expense of our constitutional rights. And the Constitution is clear that private property cannot be taken unless it's for public use. New condominiums are not a public use. I would rather live in a world where my individual rights are protected than one where we live in a utilitarian society where my rights can be taken away because it may be better for the community. The right to private property is the same, is as important as the right to free speech. And because I'm saying something that may not be for the good of community does not mean you have the right to shut me up. Because I may worship in a church that you may not agree with, it may not be for the good of community, it's not a reason for you to keep me from going into my house of worship. So it's the same thing for private property.
Well, I think, Wendell, if I could paraphrase what you said in the past, do you believe if the majority will was to abolish free speech, you agree with that, right?
If a fair and informed vote of the people said that we cannot allow certain kinds of speech because it's either a threat to our security or our economic viability, then yes, I think that would probably be a reasonable thing to do. You keep talking about rights and private ownership, and the fact is that nobody has private property. You may have it for a little while, but it belongs to the country. It belongs to the people, and we use it for a little while, and then we pass it on.
Steven, reaction?
Well, I mean, it's just a fundamental disagreement in our philosophies of how rights come. I mean, I believe in natural rights, and the right to property is the most important one. I mean, the reason Wendell has a right to talk right now and talk on the telephone is because he has a right to that telephone. He has a right himself to speak. So if he believes in the tyranny of the majority, then, that's not a place that I want to live in.
Well, then you're free to leave, because this is the way the country is going. We are right to evolve, and understandings of our positions in society has been evolving. And we understand that there was a time for all this complete and total individual rights, and this isn't the time anymore for that because there are terrible enemies out there. We have our leader, Mr. Bush's war on extremism going on, and we need... I'm sorry. We need to fight for him and for our freedoms underneath Mr. Bush's plan. I have to go now.
Okay. Thanks for a call, Wendell. Okay. This is serious, by the way. Again, this is not a plant. But Wendell said there are no successes in the freedom movement at all. How about in the eminent domain cases? Have there been any
successes? I mean, there are many, many examples of activists who have been successful in fighting the abuse of eminent domain. Again, if you go to our website at CatholicCoalition.org, the first thing you can click on is our success stories. There's a lady in Utah who successfully fought a Walmart coming into a neighborhood in Ogden. There are people... there's a guy in Lincoln, Nebraska who stopped a billionaire hotel developer from building in his neighborhood. So it happens all the time. When people stand up for themselves and stand up for their rights, despite what Wendell says, they're very successful.
Didn't you help an elderly lady who was had her home where Trump wanted to build his casino or a parking lot for his casino?
Right. We've had a number of litigation successes. In Atlantic City, we helped Vera Kokin keep her house because Donald Trump wanted it for a limousine garage. In Canton, Mississippi, we helped the Archie family protect their home from the government there. We wanted to build a Nissan plant. In Mesa, Arizona, we helped Randy Bailey keep his brake shop. Lakewood, Ohio, we helped the Solis and the rest of the folks in the West End neighborhood of Lakewood, Ohio keep their homes from overreaching government. So, yeah, there are lots of these examples. So, if you work hard. And you get out there and you're active, you can certainly stop these things from happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, there are successes. Some are more major than others. And this is off topic, but Wendell has suggested that everything we do has been a failure, has been unsuccessful. And I'm fighting right now, Stephen, locally, this mandatory seatbelt law. This has been going on for over 2 years now. I'm actually going to have a jury trial in October. And I was just sitting at a bar the other day for lunch and started talking with some tradesmen and some small businessmen, and he's talking about some libertarian politics and such, and I got around to my seatbelt case, and he goes, oh, you've been in the paper. You know, and they all came to shake my hand because I was willing to fight the mandatory seatbelt law. So it really felt good to know that you are not out there alone, that we're not fighting this lonely battle, that there are people that really do. They're living their own lives and they're trying to earn enough money to pay their taxes and such, but they're out there supporting us.
Right, and that's really the important thing is people need to be educated about these kinds of things, and once people are, they're all, they're very supportive of these positions.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We have Pete. Hello, Pete.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I haven't heard the entire program necessarily, but isn't one of the difficulties with this type of issue about the using of eminent domain for the taking of private property for other private uses because that there is so much use of eminent domain for public uses and the distinction between the public use and the private use today is becoming blurred? For example, if you're taking property for private use for condominium housing, the government also today could take property for public housing, for low-income type housing projects, and the government's involved in things like building recreation centers or golf courses, publicly run, or they could be private. So the distinction between the private use and the public use has been blurred because government is involved in so many things that used to be the preserve of the private sector. Well, it's not just what the government's involved in, it's the Supreme Court saying that, completely obliterating the line and replacing or excising clauses from the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. That's the real culprit. I mean, you can obviously debate whether government should be involved in a bunch of these different activities, but to the extent that they are owned or controlled by the government, they're allowable under the Constitution. You don't have a constitutional argument, but
Now, you don't have a constitutional argument at all because of what the Supreme Court has done in Kelo versus New London. Well, then, therefore, there is no, at least in the economic sphere, there is no limit on what the government can do then. The government can run any kind of business if they wanted to, for example. I mean, there would be no limit on it.
I suppose that's right, but they don't, I mean, under the Supreme Court's decision, they don't even have to do that. The private business can do it.
But the private business is utilizing the governmental power of eminent domain, though, to accomplish its ends.
Right. I'm not sure I understand what your question is.
Well, I just more of a comment here that it seems to me that with there's so many the distinction between the public use of eminent domain and the private use has been blurred. That's kind of what I think. But you're saying that there is no more limitations on the power of eminent domain at all.
Under the federal constitution, under the Kelo case, no, because if a developer has an idea that he can make more money or more tax revenue, or the government thinks they can make more tax revenue if your property is used as something else, then that's the only justification you need to take property these days.
I'm wondering, Stephen, if, I mean, the only constraint that we said before in the program was, you know, legislatively or maybe with the state constitution. But I think even with the state constitutional amendment passed, it seems to me with the decision, the medical marijuana decision that was recently passed by the Supreme Court, that they could just render the state constitution, constitutional amendment restricting eminent domain as unconstitutional.
Well, the federal constitution provides the baseline. State constitutions are perfectly allowable to provide additional protection. So I don't know that they would do that under the race decision. I mean, that's really why we're calling for these kinds of legislative changes, because Justice Stevens himself said our decision doesn't do anything to restrict the state from being more protective of private property rights.
Okay.
So hopefully that's what they do.
Okay. Anything else, Pete?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. This is Freedom Rings. We're talking with Stephen Anderson, the coordinator for the Capital Coalition. If you have any questions, comments, observations, give us a call at 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000, or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law.
a juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings, and we're talking with Stephen Anderson, Castle Coalition Coordinator, which is associated with the Institute for Justice or For Justice?
Institute for Justice.
For Justice, that makes more sense. So if people would like to help support what you're doing, how can they do that?
The best place to do is go to castlecoalition.org. You can learn all about the Castle Coalition. It also has links to the Institute for Justice. You can help us out by donation, but also just help us out in letting us know what's happening in your community. And whenever action is required, help out in that way as well.
Okay, very good. And what is, okay, specifically, what are you folks working on right now to bring back the property rights of Americans?
We're working with a lot of legislators in states across the country to craft proposals that truly protect the private property rights of home and small business owners. We're also attempting to kind of affiliate ourselves with more statewide groups in order to have eyes and ears on the ground to alert us as to what's happening, but also help us out when legislation is proposed and when actions are necessary. So that's really what we're doing right now.
Okay, very good. Well, Stephen, thank you very much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we still have about 6 minutes of open line if you'd like to give us a call. 847-931-1410. I don't know, it seems like we kind of got through that quickly, but efficiently, I suppose. So, nothing long-winded about that interview. So, open line, 847-931-1410. And who do we have here?
We have Tim.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, Ken. Well, I just got in a little bit on the tail part of Wendell, and I'll have to admit I kind of agree with him on only one thing, and that is it does seem like it's a bit of a losing battle. I'm so sure you let the guy go this quick.
I was waiting for more phone calls. We didn't have any on that.
Oh, well, anyway, sorry. I did it, got as quick as I could. Here's my thought, is that it's like we have this mindset of we always have to use legislation, always have to use legislation. I think we need to change the tactics. It's just simply that there are people who make these decisions, individuals that make these decisions that are on these county boards and city boards and various other things. These are individuals. They need to be held personally accountable, much like the going after Breyer's property.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's ridiculous that we think that this is some kind of a faceless committee someplace that can you know, somewhere in the nebulous ambiguity of government, and they're not real people. Well, there are real people, and there are a lot of things that can be done, legal things, and semi-legal things too, to influence these people and let them know, look, you're hurting other real people. That's why, you know, I've taken the Scottish motto, nemo me, impune lisset. No one harms me with impunity. It's very much like the Gadsden flag, you know, don't tread on me.
Right, right.
You know, it's until Americans are willing to stand up and hold the individuals accountable who are making these decisions in the name of government, this kind of crap is just going to keep on.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I know that they do, the Institute for Justice and the Catholic Coalition take a different tack. In fact, they disagreed. I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, he disagrees with that move to condemn, and I guess they had to disagree with it, the move
I mean, you know, after all, the Catholic Church and the rest of these evangelical, you know, all the other churches, they're all 501c3 government corporations anyway. So at a certain point, they're going to say, oops, well, we can only go so far, but we can't really go any farther. I just see that our freedoms are our own personal responsibilities and the responsibilities of the people around us. I mean, look at the Founding Fathers. They petitioned and petitioned and petitioned and petitioned until they finally realized that petitioning isn't going to do any good. They keep rolling over us. They keep quartering troops in our homes. They keep coming and confiscating goods and property until they decided to fight back. I don't know what it's going to take in America, because now we've got this big boogeyman of terrorism, and it seems like they're changing the whole definition of domestic terrorists to being anybody who's even filing legal work against government officials now could be considered domestic terrorist extremists, whatever. So
I don't think the average American understands what extent
they're watching the football game.
They're watching the football game. To what extent?
Or the baseball game.
Of the bureaucratic American Leviathan has descended upon the rights of individuals. I don't think they have a clue. If you really, yes, as you say, if you really fight back, you put yourself up, and they will go with no holds barred.
Yeah, they will. That's why it's better to fight back quietly and secretly with a coalition of others who are willing to fight back. You know, they're big enough. It's once again, it goes back to what did the Founding Fathers do? They realized many, many times you could not fight the big British war machine on the open battlefield, so they resorted to guerrilla tactics.
I guess they would be considered terrorists today, wouldn't they not?
Oh, absolutely. Signers of the Declaration of Independence were the
terrorist document. Yep.
Yes, it's a terrorist document. So my thought on that whole thing is just very simply, you're going to have to embrace your inner outlaw.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it, as always.
All righty. Bye.
All right. We have Mike. Hello, Mike.
Morning, Ken. Enjoying the program today.
Cool.
I was just wondering, have you made any attempt to get Joe Bannister on to talk about his case with the IRS? To cover that?
I don't know if we have or not, but that is a great idea. I'd love to have Joe Bannister on.
Well, I got your email address, and I know here's attorney Robert Bernhoff, and I'll send him an email with your address and see if we can get him on to talk about it, because I know he's making a circuit.
I
think that's real interesting.
I appreciate it. That reminds me to announce my jury trial date.
Yeah, that'd be good to hear about.
It's October 4th, 10 a.m., McHenry County Center. So keep that date in mind. I'd love to have everybody's support. October 4th, 10 a.m., and it's going to be very interesting because I'm going to make sure the jury hears their rights and powers as to nullify unjust law.
Well, we hope they allow you to speak. You know, they'll do.
Well, they may not. I mean, it's either that or they're going to hold me contempt for quoting the Founding Fathers. It's basically what they're
going to
do.
Well, that's what they did to Irwin Schiff, pretty much. I mean, you know, 15 months later, they still haven't answered his, you know, petitions for grievance and all this, and produced documents and evidence in his tax case.
Yeah.
You know, and the judge is basically just sitting on everything, going, yeah, okay, you put it in, but I'm not going to answer your question. Go to trial without it.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Hey, Mike, thanks for your call.
There, bud.
Appreciate it. Okay, I got a little time to remind you that you can purchase Freedom Rings stuff like mugs and mouse pads and T-shirts and golf shirts at Freedom through freedomrings.net, www.freedomrings.net. And, you know, also read my poetry and other essays right there. And also we do have archive shows on now, so check it out. Okay, on to the quotation of the week, this from Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be.
Sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.
When bad weather hits, turn to WRMN 1410 for all the details, and you'll always get the latest weather forecast every hour on WRMN Elgin.
Radio Network News, John Scott reporting. NASA has postponed the shuttle landing until tomorrow because of weather conditions at Kennedy Space Center in Florida, where the orbiter is supposed to land. Former astronaut Dr. Tom Jones says the shuttle is fundamentally different than an airliner, which is why it cannot land in inclement weather when a jet can.
The shuttle's coming down final approach at a much steeper angle, about six times steeper than a 747 or an airliner would come in, and about twice the velocity. And so to give every advantage to the crew when they have this unpowered glider with no chance to go around, you've got to have that good visibility. The difference in an airliner is that if the approach doesn't look good, the pilots can take it around for another try. Eileen can't do that.
So NASA will try again tomorrow when the first window to land in Florida will be just after 5 a.m. Eastern Time. The shuttle could also touch down in California, if necessary. The war on terror has gained momentum, former CIA operative Wayne Simmons says. It's because of what happened on 7-7.
The United States loses almost 3,000 people in September 11th, and we have to fight people to convince them that this war on terror is real. The Brits, they lose some people, and that was unfortunate, but now it seems to have motivated the world.
Meanwhile, the commander of U.S. troops in Iraq is I'm on the plan of pulling out American troops. Starting next year, General John Abizaid reportedly plans to withdraw 20 to 30,000 troops by next spring if the security situation allows. The Dow is down half a point now. This is USA Radio Network News.
Do you need to get your credit under control, or do you just need help in rebuilding your credit? Christian Credit Counselors is a free service that will help you consolidate your debts in 20.